Blog Talk Radio.
Kingdom Thursday night business meeting. This is what I call a family meeting where we discuss the things that, you know, the ministry is doing. And I need to look at my typing before I put some stuff out. I'm looking here at some typos. I apologize for them. We have been, oh man, just busy, 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 busy. I have been getting in the stuff that we need for the microgreen business, and I was trying to go through and document different things. I'm still waiting on a couple of more supplies to come in. Then, you know, we're going to proceed. And so I've been making videos all day. I took some pictures last night, but I didn't post them until probably about 10 or 15 minutes ago, max. So you may be able to get to them now. You may not. Actually, let me go to my sent items and see if I can see them. But they're just pictures. They're not videos. I will start uploading the videos here in a little bit. The videos that I have been making, you know, concerning the different processes that I promised that I would do. Yeah, I'm not seeing, I don't think I'm seeing these pictures. What day is that? That's not today. And, you know, my Google Drive may be full. So I'll have to check and see. Check on that and see. My Google Drive may be full. I'm not actually seeing where these were actually successfully uploaded, these particular pictures. But, you know, I'll go ahead and talk to what's in them. I was really trying to give you guys an update on, you know, the strawberries and how they're doing, but in picture and not in video. The tomato plants that are in the hydroponic system, and wanted to show you a picture of the grow room at night because, you know, it's just all lit up with the different lights on, you know, the tomatoes and how big the collard greens are getting and how full it is. You know, it is kind of crazy. And I'm, you know, I am thanking the Most High because it's all working and, you know, it's looking good. So let's do this before I ramble too much. Let's go ahead and pray in. Let me greet everyone. I'll open up the mic. We'll pray in. We'll do our statement of faith. And then we will call this meeting into order. And I'll just explain, you know, the things that I want to cover. And then I ask for suggested names. So if anybody has any suggested names that they want to submit, then we will also include that into the record. So we'll proceed in that manner. So greetings to everyone, wherever you may be at, Pal Talk, Blog Talk, on the internet in general, whether you're in South America, North America, on the African continent, in the European theater, the Far East. We welcome you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. And we pray that all is going well for you and that Yah is richly blessing you in your coming ins and your going out. I want to welcome everybody. This is an official business meeting. Eventually, I will put out the minutes. So much to do. Eventually, I'll put out the minutes, and you know, they will be published on what was discussed. Some of these I have to go back and actually listen to the whole thing myself all over again so I can actually do the minutes from it. But nevertheless, we welcome you all. We are endeavoring to continue in this mission that the Most High has set us upon. So let us do our statement of faith. And let me bring that up. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3 verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on this evening. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Yah. We thank you, Father, for just keeping us, for just blessing us, for allowing us to be at your feet, Father, and we can glorify you, Father, and worship you on this day. We thank you, Father, for all that you have done for us, and we thank you, Father, for allowing us to be of right mind. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and hallelujah. 10,000 times, 10,000 times, 10,000 praises to you, oh Yah. We glorify you on this evening, and we worship you. We adore thee. You are our Elohim, and to another we shall not bow down to, nor worship. May have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to fellowship, Father, and to do your business. Father, you have ordained that we should go out and teach all nations, baptizing them in your name. And Father, we are endeavoring to establish your kingdom in the earth as you have ordained us to do. Father, we ask that you would be in this meeting, that it would be you that guides it. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. The book of Psalms, chapter 133. Psalms 133. Verses 1 through 3, a song of degree of David. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descendeth upon the mountains of Zion. For there Yah commanded the blessing, even life, evermore. Amen and amen. All right. I make a motion. Let me open mics for everybody that's here. And as people come in, we will. I will open up their mic. Shalom, Sister Mary.
Shalom, Brother Miles.
How you doing, my sister?
I'm doing better.
Better? You were doing bad? When were you doing bad? Because you were always doing great. So what's been going on?
Out.
I don't know about. Huh?
I threw my back out shoveling snow.
Oh, I remember you telling me you shoveling snow. Yeah, we gotta find somebody to do that for you.
Yeah, my nurse told me, she said, don't, if I can't find somebody to take me around in the winter, just don't even try to go nowhere. You said, 'cause I could have had a heart attack.
No, that, you know, shoveling, let me make a note of this. I remember we talked about this. And
and then, you know, with my age, it just takes me a while to bounce back, that's all.
Well, yeah, I know how that is. Trust me, I do. We don't bounce back like we used to. And then also, you know, we're like rubber bands. If you stretch us too far, you know, you take a brand new rubber band and you stretch it too far, it don't go back to its original shape.
No, it don't.
And so you can be, you know, you can stretch yourself too far and too thin. Yes,
yeah,
shoveling snow is not
that.
Something you ought to be doing at your age. And so, yeah, let me make some inquiries. I said I would do this, and, yeah, I need to make sure that I do. So we can see if we can get that taken care of one way or the other. Because,
yeah,
you ought not be doing
it. Sister Denise, too, because she don't have a business shoveling snow either.
All right, amen. Amen. Let me put you both down there.
Yes,
living
sir, but
in the Arctic.
I'm just a little quiet tonight. I'm still here. I'm just...
Amen. I understand. And we're going to pray for your back, that Yah heals you, that
Thank
he
you.
Speeds your recovery.
Thank you.
Because, yeah, that just should not be.
Right, I'm laying
down
on your bed.
Amen. So I will look into it, see who all I know up there, see if I can't, you know, if we got to give somebody, you know, pay them a token to come and do it. But, yeah, that's something that you should not be dealing with, neither one of you.
Bless your heart, brother.
All right. So, yeah, I promise to look into it. Shalom, Sister Rachel.
Shalom.
All right, peace and blessings. How are you doing today, my sister?
I'm blessed.
All right, amen.
Amen.
Sister Lorraine, shalom.
Shalom.
How are you today, my sister?
I'm doing great.
Amen to that. They work you too hard today?
Nope, not too hard today.
Well, that's a good thing then.
But I work.
Amen.
No snow.
And then,
no snow.
Shalom, Sister Denise.
Shalom, Brother Miles. How are you?
I'm fine, my sister. You know, if I wasn't busy, I would, you know, it just wouldn't be right.
Yeah.
And how are you doing? Have you left the job yet?
Not yet. I left the other client. I did read her. But I still had this
All
one
right,
client.
All right,
the one I was saying
so
I would do.
You have done that then?
Yes. Yes.
All right, amen. Amen. So I will look into
and then
if we can find
Miles,
somebody to come and shovel snow for you too.
Brother Miles.
You know,
And Sister Denise has been coming over and on me, too.
She can come over and do what?
She's been coming, checking on me.
Oh, checking on you? Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And God bless you for that. Because we need to care about one for another. For sure, for sure.
Yeah. And she really do.
Let us bow our heads right quick. Anybody else in need of prayer? I know of your request, Sister Rachel. Anybody else in need of prayer for anything that we can go before the Most High right now before we start this meeting? All right. If there's no one else, then let us all bow our heads and be in agreement because where there's two or three gathered together in his name, whatever we agree upon, he says, it's sealed in heaven and it's sealed on the earth. So, Father, yeah, we come before you right now, Father, lifting up our sister, Sister Mary, and her back, and our sister Rachel, that you might look out and give her favor in the job market, that she might replenish the job that went away today. Father, look at my sister Mary and her back. You are the great healer. And you are capable, Father, and if it be your will, Father, heal her back. Give her a speedy recovery, even right now. Diminish her pain, that she might not be in discomfort. Father, provide us a means and a way to help these sisters out there in the Arctic where they're at, shoveling snow. Father, you know that they are too old for this. And so please provide us a way that we can help them to meet this need. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, I pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right. We're going to, yeah, I need to make sure I check on that for sure. All right. I make a motion that we call this meeting to order. Do I have a second?
I second.
I second.
All right. Amen. Amen. All in favor say aye.
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 All right, thank you. Anyone opposed, say nay. The ayes have it. All right, this meeting is officially in order. First order of business is I want to discuss the status of the crops, the test crops that we're doing. They are just doing fabulous. And I tried to send out pictures so that you can see just within from last week to this week. I got plants that are almost headed toward 3 feet tall. And the greens, the collard greens and things like that, the leaves on them are just becoming huge. And so I'm knowing in the future, I'm crowding them right now, but if I want them to be big and luscious and what have you, I'm thinking the collards, I'm going to try them outside next time. And I will try the, compost tea, because it is supposed to be like a natural, it's not a pesticide, but it promotes the healthy microbes that are in the ground, and they help to fight off the pests that are out there. And so the tomatoes that are out there right now, you know, they are just looking super healthy. I don't see any nematodes or any type of pest on them, white flies or nothing. They're not growing as fast as the one on the inside because they're not getting as much sunlight, but they are still, you know, they're still growing and they're getting tall and they are healthy. One of the things that growing, you know, any type of fruiting plant, tomatoes or anything like that in the winter is, there are not a lot of bees out. And so, you know, I'm looking, I'm like, okay, there should be some tomatoes on these plants outside, and I'm not seeing any tomatoes. And the truth of the matter is it hasn't been as windy. It's been rainy, but it hasn't been as windy as it usually is. And, doing a little bit of research on how to pollinate these plants, you know, in the absence of bees, I thought I was going to have to get, you know, some, Q-tips or something, and go around, you know, rubbing and scraping flowers. But that's not the way it's done for these. Most of these plants are what are self-pollinating, and what they use is the breeze, or they use the bees, the buzzing of the bees when they're on the plant. That buzzing sort of shakes loose the pollen. Some of it they collect, some of it falls, you know, onto a different part of the plant. In the same flower, and it pollinates it. So one of the tricks somebody said on YouTube, and I think I have to change my name to the YouTube farmer because that's where I'm learning how to farm from. One of the tricks that they say they use is to get a child's electric toothbrush and then just, you know, go over the back of the flowers with that toothbrush. And the vibrations from that toothbrush will, you know, shake the pollen loose, and it'll fall upon the part of the flower that it needs to pollinate it. So I said, you know, I would go invest $5 in, you know, a child's toothbrush, electric toothbrush to do that. But, you know, mainly for the ones on the inside because, you know, I had a bee to come in. I had the door open. I was working and had the door open to the sunroom, and I typically don't have it open. And, you know, a bee came in. He was smelling something, whether he was smelling the strawberries or he was smelling the tomatoes or whatever. He came in, but he couldn't find him. And, you know, I didn't want to just leave him in there, and I didn't want to work with him in there. I didn't want to run into him and then get stung or whatever. So he headed back out, and I just closed the door. So I'm going to have to self-pollinate these plants that are on the inside. But they're doing well. The strawberries, I cut off the runners, and on the plants that I cut off the runners on, the new strawberries that came out on the plants are bigger. And so, you know, that trick actually works. I moved them to the inside because I was having a problem with algae on the outside in that system and, you know, was getting into the roots. I still have a little bit of that problem. You know, it transferred inside into that particular hydroponic bed inside. So I've been treating it with a peroxide. The one on the outside, you know, and what's causing this algae is any holes that you don't have plants in, they're really supposed to be covered. And, you know, I've been looking for something suitable to cover these up with. I still haven't made up my mind on what, you know, what type of material I'm going to use, because when it's not being in, when it's not in use, whatever holes are not in use, you know, they have to be covered. No light should be coming through them. The light, the sunlight, and, you know, the water, the algae blows in on the wind. And if it can work itself, you know, into the water, the sunlight just makes it explode. And so if you don't, if the pipes aren't blocking the light, then the algae, you know, will bloom up. And so that's sort of what happened, and I tried to treat it at first a couple of days with peroxide, but then I didn't want to keep, you know, putting peroxide, food-grade peroxide in this water. And so I moved the plants, you know, from outside to in so that I could clean up the outside hydroponic system. And what I finally decided to do, because the peroxide really – I wasn't using, I don't think, a strong enough strength. Everything that all the researchers said, you know, use 5 to 3% peroxide. And peroxide can be, it can be really hazardous to your health if you have it real strong. And when you're working with it in the strength that I have at 35%, you know, it can burn through your skin real easy. And so I've been, you know, I made like a gallon or two of 3% peroxide, watered it down to 3%. And, you know, and that's safe. You know, you can get it on your skin. It doesn't bother you. The plants, it won't bother them, but it won't kill the algae. It'll kill it, you know, if it's young, but if it's already bloomed, it won't kill it. It won't clean it up. So after I moved the plants, I basically took a bottle of, not a bottle, but a cup of Clorox bleach, and poured it into the system and then flooded the system, you know, so the pump was just pumping that through. And 2 days later, there's no algae anywhere in that system. And so what I will do is, because it's getting colder, I won't put anything back out there right now. And that Clorox, I don't know how long it will stay in the water, but I will monitor it to see if anything starts to grow again. And that'll give me some type of idea, because the Clorox should evaporate out of the water eventually. As it does, you know, I'm going to replace the water and the nutrients and everything in it anyway. But, you know, I just want to see if I can use this as a deterrent during the cold weather. And, you know, until I come up with a way for this particular system that I'm going to cover up the holes that are open, so that it doesn't, you know, just start producing algae and overtake anything that's growing in there. So I'll eventually, early February, mid-February, before I think I'm going to put anything else back in there, because it should start to warm up here around that time. It'll get cold here latter part of January, early February, but then it should start to flip around that early. So as it starts to warm back up, then I will look at planting something back in there. I really want to try the potatoes, sweet potatoes or white potatoes in the hydroponic system. And I think I want to do it out there to see if we can make it work, make that work. Not really sure if it will. Haven't had the time to actually do the research on anybody that's tried it and, you know, what the outcome was and why you can or cannot do it. But it seems like if you can grow, put a potato in water and have it sprout, that if you give it room to, you know, come out of the water, but the roots stay in the water, I don't see why it wouldn't work, you know, just as a test. So, you know, that as far as cleaning up that system, that's all good. The plants on the inside, as I said, the strawberries are getting larger. There are tomatoes on the plant inside, started producing tomatoes. And so all of that looks good, and the grow room looks good. And so today, because I cannot really put up anything else, can't put the shed up, and I can't put up the second grow room. You know, I went ahead and put the shelves, which you've already seen, the shelves in the grow room, and I have four shelves that are available. Really six, but I'm only going to use four. And so I was going to start doing the test of the microgreens because we just can't wait. I can't wait any longer. I can't sit around every day and, you know, not do anything. So I soaked the seeds last night. And so we're going to be doing, and you should get videos on this because I'm documenting and producing the videos as I go along. I was trying to do it on a GoPro, but the video on it only lasts 10 minutes. And, you know, I look up and 10 minutes is gone and I don't realize, I don't know how far I've been talking. And the reason that I'm not using my professional camera is I'm having a problem getting the sound. You know, I can get the video, but I can't get the sound. And so I spent yesterday troubleshooting that. And I'm going to have to, you know, what has happened is when I bought this camera, probably 15 or 20 years ago, the same camera still cost about $2,000. I was shocked. I said, let me see how much a new one of these costs. But it's the same, you know, still costs the same amount of money. It's the same exact camera. And it's a good camera. It's professional. But the hardware that I'm using with the upgrades of Windows, there were some things that happened. And so one of my laptops that I use for video editing is only 32-bit. And, you know, the only software that they provide that will actually download the video from this Handycam is a 64-bit system. And my 64-bit system doesn't have this particular port in it to connect. So, you know, I ordered the card so I can upgrade the port, you know, add this port to my desktop. And then I will use, you know, go back to using that camera to record with. And then the remote stopped working. So, you know, I can't zoom in and stop and start. I have to get up and go, you know, do all these things. So I had to, you know, I didn't know the remote had stopped working. I hadn't used this camera in a while. So I had to order a new remote for it. And that'll be in 3 or 4 days, something like that. So that I can, you know, I can zoom in when I need to and stop and start the video without having to, you know, get up out of my chair and, you know, change settings and things like that. So I started with the phone today. I started the seed soaking last night. So we are going to be, you know, four plants that we're going to be growing as part of the test and as part of the business is radish, sunflower. There are some peas and a salad mix for the microgreens. And so I started soaking the seeds last night about 11:15. Went ahead and you know, I wanted to weigh out how much I was going to put in each container for the seeds, and I'm not going to to max out the container for, you know, the test, because I want to do two or three tests so I can say, okay, this lighting condition, this amount of water, yada, yada, yada. I'm only doing about half of what, you know, the capacity and the yield would be for the test. And so I soaked the sunflower seeds and the peas last night. And then I was putting together, you know, we were talking about a subscription service for mail order, you know, where people mail order microgreens. And, you know, I'm thinking that several approaches to that will be, one approach will be for families to get their children involved, where they want them to eat healthier. And, you know, a lot of kids like these particular types of peas, but, you know, a lot of kids like vegetables anyway, and then there's those that don't, or it's a hard time getting them to. But for those who, you know, families who are trying to get their kids to eat healthier, that's one approach, you know, to appeal to that crowd. And then there is the crowd where, you know, we just want to eat healthy. I know myself included. Our people, we suffer from a lot of medical conditions that are really really a result of our diet. And, you know, and I've known this for a long time, but focusing on working and providing a living and all those things, I was not taking care of myself as well as I should have, and I was not eating as well as I should. I have, you know, wanting to eat more healthier. You know, it's not that I was eating really bad or anything, but I needed to eat healthier. And so the microgreens is you know, an avenue for that. And understanding, you know, that understanding that the draw for microgreens is that in that little bitty microgreen, that little bitty, you know, seedling that has come up, when it grows to about 3 or 4 inches, it has all the nutrients that a grown plant would have. And so that is the beauty of it. You can imagine if you eat 3 or 4 microgreens, it's the equivalent of eating 3 or 4 whole plants. That is the beauty of this, how nutritious it is. So you don't have to eat as much of it or as many and get more value. So that's the reason why I had decided on the microgreens. And as a business, it is viable. There's there's people doing it, but not a whole lot of people. And the market here is not saturated with people doing it, growing microgreens and providing it, you know, as a service. The different avenues for selling it. The subscription service, I bought the, and I will send out, you know, pictures of all this, videos of all this, so that, you know, we're all on the same page. Containers that we're going to use to send out the kit in, the kit that, you know, you have the container that you're going to grow in. We're not going to use dirt. We're going to use this substance called BioStrate, and it's like a cottony material, like a mesh. But, you know, there's no dirt involved. You cut it. And, you know, and that's the thing I need to work on after setting up these tests was I know that it needs to be like 4 inches by 6 inches and, you know, to fit into the bottom of this tray correctly. And then, you know, the seed density, how many seeds I've spent, you know, last night practicing and, you know, covering the top. And so I'll send the pictures. I tried to send out some today, and I created a couple of these test trays as far as for the sample, subscription service, mail order service. So we have the container. We have the substrate that it's going to grow in. I'm waiting for the little packets to come in plastic packets that we're going to put the seed in. So, you know, I was been, you know, determining how much seed was going to take to actually put into each one for the different types of plants. And so I bought the 2 by 2 inch by 4 inch little packets, and I may have to, you know, get some larger ones for some of these other ones. They may, or we have to, you know, I'll have to include more than one pack of seeds in there. But the gist of the business is this. When they order or get on a subscription service, then every month they'll get a different microgreen. So let's say if we start off with peas this month, the next month it would be, let's say, the salad mix, and then the next month radish, and then the next month sunflower, and it would rotate. And then we'll, you know, I can, you know, that's going to be the four main ones that we provide. They are pretty popular. But then if somebody requests a different type of plant, I have the instructions on how to grow probably 50 different types of microgreens, the plants themselves. And so depending upon what they're asking for, there may be a, you know, a special cost for that because it's out of the norm. It's not what we are regularly growing. And so, but, we, you know, we can make it custom, that type of thing. So I will be sending out the kits to you guys. I first wanted to grow one myself and, you know, make sure I got the process down pat. I'm still waiting on some push pins. To come in, I ordered like 800 push pins, you know, those like thumbtacks, but push pins, because part of the kit is going to be that, you know, they're required to poke holes in the bottom of the grow media, the actual container that's going to hold the plants, so that, you know, the water can drain, because you can't have water just sitting there. It needs to be enough on the bios trait, you know, for germination and for the seed to grow, and that's it. Shouldn't have any water pooling, and so you need to have holes up underneath so that it can, any excess can drain out if you overwater. And then there needs to be a tray that catches that water. And so I want to provide a complete kit. And I thought about, you know, I said, hey, what's the cheapest way to do this? Cheapest way to do it would be to buy some of the small paper plates can hold water, they can hold liquid. That's the cheapest way to do it, but it doesn't look professional. And I ordered like 50 plates, just that's the smallest pack I could find, you know, online. I didn't want to run to the store, so I just ordered some that were 6 inches, you know, across, that I could sit this in and see how it looks. I have created a spreadsheet that, you know, gives me the cost of everything, and then the cost for one kit. And I'm thinking that, you know, the mailing of it, that, you know, that will be a constant cost. So that $2.45 for a kit, you know, for a box that you can mail anywhere in the U.S., that's what we're going to go with. But then all the other costs, you know, how many seeds to put in, you know, what type of water collection tray to use. So I have documented all that, and I think I'm going to go with the plastic one that I found. It's a little bit more expensive, and it cuts back on the profit. But, you know, I think that we can get a kit out the door and delivered for $12.99 a month. I need to go to the store and see if they buy microgreens at the store, you know, what that cost would be. I think it's going to be way more than that. Vegetables aren't cheap. Fresh vegetables aren't cheap, and microgreens aren't cheap at the store even. So I think that this will have value added in that way. And then microgreens are best consumed right after you cut them. So if they are growing their own by the kit, then they're going to get the greatest benefit from it because they're only going to consume them as they need them after they grow. And then, you know, every month they'll get a new kit with a different microgreen. So I have all that, and I have I just started a kit for each seed because I'm going to grow one for each. And then once I see, you know, make sure I have the process down, then I will mail you each out one that for you to try. I think I'm going to mail you the peas or whatever, or the I may even send the salad mix. But, you know, one that you can test and see, you know, as I said, is this viable? Is it something that you can see yourself doing? If so, if there's any way you see that we can improve the process, is it enough that we're providing for that, you know, that amount of money? You know, is it of value is the whole thing, you know, and no matter what, you know, it's got to be of value or people won't do it. So even for, you know, the older and aging population, those who can't, you know, who want to eat healthier, then this provides them a way to do it. And it's not labor intensive. I'm making sure that, you know, the instructions are simple, like about four instructions to get this up and running. The hardest part would be to, you know, poke the holes in the bottom of the little pan that they're using, but that's not even hard either. So I like the idea. I think that it will be viable. And right now I have, you know, like I said, one set of radishes, sunflowers, peas, and the salad mix germinating right now. The peas and the sunflower seeds had to be soaked. And so, you know, I videotaped that process and showed, you know, the process of using the peroxide, you know, the 3% peroxide, soaking them for 10 to 12 hours. And then, you know, if it was 5% peroxide, we soak it for about 30 minutes. But, you know, I wouldn't want to get caught up and then leave the seeds in there because you can destroy the seeds with the peroxide if it's too strong. 3%, you know, you leave it in there longer and it's not going to actually hurt them. And even, you know, this morning after 10 or 12 hours, I saw some of the seeds already starting to, you know, sprout, germinate. And I was like, wow, this is quick. So I went ahead and put them into the test kits. You know, put the lid on them so that it'll create that humidity dome so they'll retain the water inside. And then I put them, I didn't really have a dark place to place them. And, you know, I don't want things all over the house, so I was like, okay, what can I do? Let me keep it in this general area. And so what I did was, you know, I had some boxes that I, you know, got things in, different products or what have you. And so I put them in a box and closed the box up so that there's no light coming into it. And it's not sealed, but it's closed where there's no light coming into it. Because, you know, every day you got to go check the water. And if the water, you know, these seeds are going to use up the water and the water's going to evaporate into the top as well. And so you still got to, you know, every day check them and, you know, add a little bit of water so that they don't get dried out. That's the biggest thing with germinating them. And then once they, you know, after 4 days, you take them out and you put them up under lights. They should have germinated and, you know, started growing roots by that time. And then you put them up under the lights, the grow lights. Now, in your case, when you get it, you can just put it on a windowsill or you can put it up under a lamp in your house, you know, wherever you want to put it at, long as it's getting light. It doesn't have to be sunlight. It can be, you know, just light from a lamp or what have you. And then they should grow. And they're only going to grow, you're going to harvest them in 7 to 14 days total. So first 2 to 4 days, they're germinating. You bring them out, put them up under the light, and then, you know, you check them every day. You water them, and they will grow up to be about 3 or 4 inches, 5 inches max tall, and they're ready to harvest. And that's another reason why I went with this business, is because to get the product, it doesn't take that long. It's not like, you know, we got to grow a plant for 45 to 70 days before we get a harvest. You get a harvest every 10 to 14 days with this, doing it this way. And if, you know, if you have orders coming in that are that constant, then you can get it, you can actually grow and get a harvest every day. Because, you know, you're just going to be starting, well, this is for this customer to start on this day. They're ready to harvest on this day. So you can really be harvesting every day if you get enough clientele. But the whole thing is, it doesn't take a long time and a whole lot of effort to get a product. Okay, the packaging probably is going to be, would be the hardest part. You know, and I have the packaging and all that already ready. So, you know, we're not just going to write on the box, you know, collard greens or salad mix, you know, but it will have, you know, printed labels. It'll have the day, you know, got a date stamp, the date that it was harvested, best eaten by this time, you know, instructions on how to keep it, how to, you know, make it last the longest. And really, you know, that's it. So it's just that process and getting that down. So we have, you know, like I said, we have the 4 plants. They are in germination stage right now. For the little kit, when I finish tonight with this meeting, I will go out and prepare the trays that we're going to grow, you know, on the bigger trays that would be for local, you know, going to harvest and then put into, in the beginning, put them into the sample kit, sample packs. And I will also show you the little bitty sample pack trays that I bought. You know, they're 4 trays in one, so 4 compartments in one tray. And they're, you know, they're only about, I'm going to say 3 to 4 inches square. So it's enough to put, you know, a good little sample of each microgreen in each one, put a label on it, and then, you know, just going to walk the neighborhood starting, walk the neighborhood early in the morning and just leave them on people's doorsteps because it's cold enough. You know, the sun won't come up and burn them up, dry them out. And then, you know, if we put a paper towel, you know, fold a paper towel and, you know, just put a little dampness on it, then that will also help to preserve them as part of the packing. That is the next goal, to get to where I can, you know, grow these, put them in the samplers, and then walk the neighborhood and you know, drop them off at the door. See if I get any interest that way. And then the second phase will be to go to the major restaurants in the area and see if I can get the chefs interested in you know, to subscribing, because a lot of chefs like to use microgreens. They used to use it just as a garnish, but now they're, you know, making complete meals out of them. And if they can get them fresh, delivered to them, you know, and consistent, good customer service, then we can probably develop a market that way as well. The farmers market, you know, those are typically weekends, and there are some that run during the week. The ones that are on the weekends, you know, I'm going to miss those because, you know, I'm not breaking Sabbath for anything. And, you know, I have the ministry. And so, you know, it is got to stay focused, you know, even on the word of the Most High and to the ministry. This is all to support that anyway. And so even though everybody in the world does everything on Saturday, it is not open to me or us to do so on that day. So, you know, I will try to do the farmers markets that are open during the week, Friday in the daytime. Go there, but, you know, before it's time to prepare the meal for Shabbat and be home and be able to, you know, do the lessons and that kind of stuff and observe Shabbat, then, you know, that's what it will be. But we'll not be breaking Sabbath to do this. You know, and I've seen a few brothers, you know, they're like, they're selling on Sabbath, and I'm like, you know, that's against the law. We're not supposed to do that. You know, and if it's for your own ministry, then you really have no excuse for doing that, except for, you know, you're wanting money and you're dishonoring the Most High and the Sabbath, which you say you keep doing that. So, no, we won't be doing that. And I don't want anybody who gets involved with this to do it on the Shabbat. It may be the best day of the week or whatever. No. We're going to honor the Most High Sabbath, and we're going to keep that. Sunday morning, you know, the church does its thing, but we are not Sunday worshipers. We are Sabbath keepers. And so we're going to honor his day and keep the Shabbat and not work on it. You know, man will, if we're working for the man, then they may want to try to make us work on the Shabbat. And there's instances, you know, even with myself where I had to do that. But when I had my own company, did not work on the Shabbat at all, period. It was out of the question. And now, you know, moving back into this as my own business, I'm in the control of which days I work and not work. Then, no, we're going to honor the Most High Sabbath. And so anybody that gets involved with it, I would tell them, no, I don't want you doing this on the Shabbat. Because it is, it's a violation. And we can't say we're law keepers and then violate the Sabbath because we want money. So that's where we're at in that vein. And like I said, I'm doing the videos. I'm showing you, you know, even down to showing you the seeds so that you can identify, you know, the radish seeds. And I know we all can identify sunflower seeds. We've eaten them before. These are darker. They're black. You'll notice sunflower seeds when you see them, but the radishes you may not. The peas, they're kind of, you'll know that, oh, that, yeah, that even looks like a pea. So, yeah, those are the peas. And the salad mix, you would never guess that, you know, this is, I have some pictures of full-grown salad mix, not, you know, not the microgreen, but the when you allow it to grow to maturity. I have some in the grow room, and so I will show you those pictures. If you were to let it grow to, you know, to its fullness, then this is how it looks. But if you are growing it for microgreens, then it's never going to get anywhere near that. So want us to see all that, the preparation of the water, how to adjust the pH of the water, the instruments that you use, how you measure it, you know, how we measure the electrical connectivity in the water that tells us how many nutrients. I go over all of the nutrients that we will be using to grow plants, but not the microgreens. As I said, and I explained in the video that, you know, for the microgreens, we don't use any of this stuff. We only use water, plain water, or water that we have lowered the pH on it. In my case, the water coming out of the fountain here is high in pH. It's usually 7 something, pH, 7 point something, and it's kind of hard. But what we want is between 5.5 and 6.5 as the pH, 6.0 being ideal. But anywhere in between 5.5 and 6.5, you know, you can get away with it. I try to shoot for 6.0 or as close to it as possible. When I first adjust it, comes in at 6.1, I don't worry about it. Come in 5.9, I don't worry about it. If it's coming in at 6.7 or something like that, then I will further adjust it down to, you know, to within the tolerance levels. And it's real important for seed germination and what have you. So I show you how we do those things. Then I show you the scales that I'm using and how to use them to measure out the seeds, to measure out the chemicals, different things, different aspects of just growing the plants, so that, you know, whether we're doing it hydroponically or whether we're growing in the dirt, the only difference between the two is, you know, one we're growing in water, the other one we'd be growing in the dirt, but the process is the same. And for the microgreens, we're not using any chemicals at all, no fertilizers. You know, whatever the energy is that's in the seed, that's all you use. And so it is, you know, as I say, it's an easy process. And I chose this because both men and women can do this. It's not labor intensive. You're not going out there having to dig in the dirt and bend over and hurt your back or do any of that kind of stuff. So it's a viable business, and it's easy to maintain. It's not, is, you know, hydroponically is more expensive to start, but I had the means available to do it, so I wanted to do it. And I, you know, I'm loving that I'm growing hydroponically, and it's paying off. But you know, I also plan to and you know, learned how to grow in the dirt, because again, this is also in preparation for when we move to the land. One of the first things we have to do is start crops to growing. And so the research on the land and the soil that's on the land is good soil on the land, according to the state. And, you know, it's the right kind of soil. Because it's kind of desert, then, you know, you don't see a whole lot growing in it. But that doesn't mean that it can't grow in it. And so, you know, it's the right soil type, then it's getting the microbiotics right in the soil. And that's where that compost tea comes from. So doing that research, what I've learned is off an acre of land, we can grow an abundance of food, not just enough to survive on, but an abundance, more, way more than enough, enough to consume and sell. Enough to where, you know, if we grow the carrots and, you know, the potatoes and, you know, the lettuce and the cabbage, all those things that we can grow in abundance on an acre. We have 200 acres. And so I have designated, you know, an acre every 40 acres, 1 acre for food production. So as we grow onto, you know, that land, then 1 acre will be dedicated toward food production. But it should be enough food production that it's in abundance. You know, we're not sitting there, we're just growing enough that, you know, we have what we need to eat, and that's it. No. We want it to be where we have an abundance, and we're not, you know, by any means anywhere close to starving. So as we, you know, introduce animals, chickens and goats, cattle, no, won't be no swine in there. But as we start introducing the animals that are clean, you know, twosies and threesies, you know, maybe 10 chickens at a time or whatever. Again, having not been a farmer, I am researching the stuff now, and, you know, I know how to, you know, what it would take to start chickens or anything like that. And, you know, they're not easy. You know, they're not just set them and forget them. They take a little bit of work, too. And anything that's live, you know, you got to takes a little bit of time into it. But it's understanding the nuances and knowing from other people's mistakes. And I'm a big believer in learning from other people's mistakes. Okay, so here's best practices. And in this area, what's the best practice? In Arizona, you know, you're in this drier climate, yada, yada, yada. This is the best practice. So you don't have to learn everything from scratch or by experience. It's just a matter of, you know, doing the research and saying, okay, we want to, you know, we want to add chickens, then we can add chickens. You know, I'm allergic to eggs. to chicken eggs. I'm allergic to the whites in them. So if it was just me, I don't know. I might have one or two chickens because I'm not a big egg eater. But, you know, when you have a group of people, then, yeah, you want enough animals that are producing enough to where you have what you need and then more than. And so we will be introducing those animals. And I think, like, you know, the red meat, we don't need as many. For black people, let's just say it this way. We were never designed to consume cow's milk. It's not what our lineage, our ancestors, it's not the type of milk that they drank. They drank goat's milk. And so we have a gene within our body that actually processes goat milk better than it processes cow's milk. But, you know, we can still have cows for the meat and what have you. But, you know, you hear of people being lactose intolerant. Well, that's mostly black people, and it is because we don't have the gene that actually to process lactose out of cow's milk. But we do have the gene that processes whatever it is that's in a goat's milk. And so, you know, there are foods that, you know, your ancestors traditionally consumed because of the region that they came from. For us, you know, we didn't grow up on, we did in the West. We grew up on cow's milk and, you know, growing up with gas and all that kind of stuff, diarrhea, you know. Heck, if I want to use the bathroom, just give me a big glass of milk. It's over. And you don't want to be around. You know, I don't think I've ever had any goat's milk, but I know from research, you know, goat's milk is supposed to be better for us as a people. And so, you know, to add those animals, you know, we have more than enough land to do it. And again, we don't have to have, you know, huge farms. We want enough animals to where we have, we want a little bit more than, we want an abundance, but we don't want an overabundance like that for the animals. But, you know, everything else we want in abundance. And that goes for, like, being able to produce power. We want more than enough power. We want more than, we want redundant systems. So we don't want to just count on, let's say, generators or solar, but we want both. That way, if one breaks, is not, you know, it's an emergency, but it's not an emergency where, you know, the grid went down. Like if the power goes out at your house, you know, unless you bought a generator or one of those Generacs that kicks in, you know, when the power goes out, you're just out. And, you know, when you look at all these major disasters, whether it's a hurricane or a major blizzard and you got snow or ice on the lines and it pulls down the power lines, and the power goes down and you can't get your power from the grid, if it does it in a big enough area, let's say like in a major hurricane, you can be without power for some weeks. Your refrigerator ain't going to hold stuff that long. Your freezer ain't going to hold stuff that long. And so, you know, a lot of people I know today, if they have homes, as they can afford it, you know, they're putting in those Generac backup power generators that run off of propane. They run off of natural gas, so they'll hook it up to the natural gas line in your house if you have natural gas. And natural gas, typically, when you lose power, it doesn't go out. So your generator is able to, you know, kick in and provide electricity. Well, we will have propane on the property. We will pay for it, of course, but 2 to 3 tanks, large tanks, so that we don't have to buy it all the time. And then, you know, as I said before, the generators that I have found, we're getting those that are powerful enough that can run, you know, 8 full houses at one time, you know, with the stove, the refrigerator, TV, you know, computer, that kind of stuff. that this one generator is able to produce enough electricity for that, and then we will do the same thing with solar. So those would be some of the first systems we put in. But back to the microgreen stuff. So this business model, I don't really even think has an age limit on it, because as I said, it is not. It's a matter of being detailed oriented. But male or female could do it. And then if we're doing it as, you know, a group as a business, if we're taking in orders as a group and, you know, providing the service as a group, then, yeah, you know, people have their different assigned duties. And I don't see it. I really don't see it even in full scale. Except for if you're on deliveries or something, I don't see it taking a full day, you know, your full day. You get up early in the morning, you do what you call your chores, and as far as that business is concerned, it's done. The rest of the day is yours. And then as I said, it's profit sharing. Everything is coming into the community. But, you know, people need, they need shoes, they need clothes. They may want their own ride, not, you know, separate and apart from the community. We're going to have community things, but... from the business aspect, then profit sharing, you know, each family will get so much that, you know, they get for their own consumption. They may want to go into town and do whatever, go to the movies, or they may want to go, you know, shopping or whatever it is. It's theirs to use as, even though it's communal living, once the community expenses are met, then here is the profit sharing portion of it. So from the business aspect of the micro green business, we want to include that in the model here's the expense. This is what it costs to, you know, to put a whatever packet out. This is the profit that we should be making from it. This is how much has to go back into the business, and then the rest is profit. And, you know, if you're the everybody who's already been involved already knows that the food is communal. So there, you don't have to buy groceries. The electricity will be communal. You don't pay for electricity or water. All this will be communal. Living quarters, you know, once we get them up, they will also be communal. A communal kitchen. And so we don't need all of these different devices in every living quarters. Not as big. You know, everybody won't need a stove and that kind of stuff is the way that this is going to be designed and work because we're supposed to all have all things in common. So if we have all things in common and we're all working for the same common goal, then, as I said before, if you don't work, you don't eat. That's just the bottom line. You know, nobody can come in and freeload. Come in, you know, if you get sick, that's one thing. As we get older, and some of us are starting older, then, you know, there's things that we can do. And then as we get to the point we can't do that, then, you know, the community takes care of you. Because we're all going to, if we live long enough, we will reach that. And so just like the sisters don't have anybody to come and shovel snow for them right now, you know, that really, in a community, that should not be. It just should not ever happen. You know, so the fact that, you know, it is, and, you know, we're kind of separated, and I understand that. I still take the responsibility, and I will look to see how we can handle that because we are remote right now. But, you know, we still need to address those things. These things should never happen. Okay. And so, yeah. So I will put those videos out on the microgreens, on the, you know, the different products that we're doing, on the different packaging, the process. As I said, I want to be able to put, you know, out a microgreen subscription service, mail order service, including the mailing, the kit and everything for $12.99 a month. And then we still make, you know, after all that, we still make between $9 and $10, you know, to get it out the door. Still profit $9 or $10. And that will allow us to, you know, make payments toward the land, to make sure the business stays viable. And then at the end of the year, we say, okay, what this is what it's going to cost. This is what it cost us last year to run. As a group, as a community, we voted, this is what we want to do. What does that cost? And then here's what's left. And we split that. We profit share it. So your family needs or wants to do this, here you go. You have to do it out of this money that you know, the group earned. And this is your portion of it. That is the concept, and that, you know, that's what we are endeavoring to do. So this microgreen business, as I said, it doesn't have an age limit on it. And it's not super taxing. It's just detail-oriented, and, you know, we have to be consistent. So if we want the same results, we got to do it the same way all the time. So here is the formulas that we're going to use. Everybody's going to do it the same. And if we find a way to improve the process, then we improve the process and everybody does it the same. So we should get the same like results all the time. That is the goal. And so that's why I'm taking so much time to document even now, and to, you know, come up with the processes and put them in place. And everything, you know, everything is just that. It's a plan. It's a guide. And it's a living document. So if we learn, it's just like, okay, I'll give you, I said that the pH of the water should be between 5.5 and 6.5. We shoot for 6.0 for the pH level. But what I'm finding is the plants, at least right now, seem to be thriving if the pH level is around 7. They seem to have exploded. When I test the pH level, I'm like, wow, this is 7.1, 7.2. And in all the tank, it's consistent. The plants in their living, they drive up the pH level. And I don't know if it's a process of them driving it up because that's what they want, or it's a byproduct. I don't, you know, I haven't really had the time to delve into that. Is this a natural process from growing the plant that they drive up the pH level and they will make it what they want it to be? Or if, you know, as they are consuming the nutrients out and their waste product does this. I don't know yet, but I will know. But I just know that they seem to be thriving with the pH level at right around 7. You know, when I change the water, I bring it back down to 6.5 or to 6. But then, you know, a couple of days later, I check it. And I check it every day, but a couple of days later is right back close to about 7. And so, you know, I need to do a little bit of research. There's somebody that's done the hard research on it, the scientific research, and knows, you know, why this is. And I'll find out and know why. And, you know, if it's not necessary, then, you know, we won't so much worry about the pH except for when we're doing germination, because I know that it is important then that the pH level of the water be at, you know, 6.0. when you're germinating the seed and stuff like that. So that's the update on the microgreens and, you know, the plants and stuff. As I said, I will send out the video so you see the documentation. And then I was going to try to get out the kits this week, but I think it's now going to be a week and a half from now. I'm going to grow a kit myself first so I can, you know, document what I did as I'm doing it, and then I'll make up the little packets, and then I will, you know, for those who want to do it, but, you know, if you do it, I need you to actually do it and to document, to pay attention, because this is a product that we are planning to go to market with if it really comes out to be viable and seems to be a good way to sell. Then, you know, we want to go in and pursue this. Now, I have a question. Did anybody think of a name that they want to submit for the name of the farm itself. Because, you know, as I said, part of this, I don't really want to do it up under the ministry's name. I do want to do it. It's going to be part of the ministry, but it needs to be, because it's for profit, I need a separate business entity. Because, you know, we have to file taxes and do all that kind of stuff. And so I have come up with Yesharun Farm or Farms. And I'll, you know, provide that spelling of that. Anybody else have a name they wish to submit? I know Sister Mary, you said Yah's Land Farm. Anyone else?
No, not yet.
Okay, well, you won't get too much opportunity because once I pick it, it's done. Because it will be official. The, you know, business license and trade name and all that will be in that name. And that's the name that will be on the packaging. And, you know, and I don't have a whole lot of time to play with it. As I said, we're trying to get this up and running. You guys should know me by now. When it needs to be done, I'm about getting it done. And I don't really, you know, I understand delays and things like that, but I don't really like to procrastinate. Because then that just leaves more stuff undone. So, Sister Mary, did you still want to submit Yah's Land Farms to be considered?
You might have a phone on mute.
If you're talking, you're on mute.
You might have went to sleep.
Yeah, it sounds, looks like she went to sleep or something. Okay. All right, so I will tell you why I chose Yesharun Farms. Yes, if you look in the scriptures, let me take us to a verse real quick. Let me see where I found this at. I didn't note it down. Give me a hot second here. I'll find it real quick. It's in your, in the English, it's spelled with a J, but it's not how it's pronounced. Jesharun. And let us go to now my Bible saying that it, my electronic Bible saying that this word doesn't exist.
Could you spell that again, Brother Mal?
Is J-E-S-H. J-E-S-H. U-R-U-N. Or it might be J-E-S-U-R-U-N. They're both in there. Let me see if I can find this one. And it's actually pronounced Yesharun. So let me try it without this SH. And I know I found this in here before. Okay, send it without the SH. If you go to Isaiah chapter 42, it's the only place you'll find this in the scriptures. Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 2, if you, when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
All right, thank
you.
All right, thank you. We let everybody else get there. All right. Thus saith Yah that made thee. Amen, thank you. Thus saith Yah that made thee, and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, Jacob, my servant, and thou, Yeshurun, whom I have chosen. Now, when you look up this word in the Hebrew, Jeshurun, in the English with a J, but if you look at actual Hebrew, it's pronounced with a Y. Remember, J didn't exist. The J. This is what we got to understand about the Hebrew. There is no J sound. What in the Hebrew? There's no letter that makes a J sound. And there's no letter in the Greek that makes a J sound. So when you look up these words, because they use the J, but when you actually look them up, they're pronounced with a Y sound. And so Isaiah 44 and 2 and that word in the Hebrew is Yeshurun, spelled Y-E-S-H-U-R-U-W-N. And what it means is upright, a symbolic name for Israel, a symbolic name for righteous Israel. So, and we want to be who? Righteous Israel. We say we are the people of the book. And we want to be, if we want to be known as Israel, then we at least want to be known as righteous Israel. But this is a name that the Most I put on my heart. And so this is the one that I picked. And it can be spelled J-E-S-H-U-R-U-N, or it can be spelled J-E-S-U-R-U-N without the H.
I think
so everybody
like
understands
name.
Where I'm getting this from. And you won't find this anywhere else in the scriptures. I don't think that this name is anywhere else other than in Isaiah.
That's a good name.
In Isaiah 44. So, amen. So that's the reason that, that I selected that name, because it stands for, you know, I don't think I can get away with using Israel, but I don't really think, and I haven't seen too many people that refer to this name. Don't know why, but so this is the name that I'm, you know, submitting that we name the land, the farm, that we name, you know, the business, and we do business in this name as far as the farm goes. And I may even want to later open up, you know, a house of Yeshurun, at, you know, in some city or someplace. But I want to, you know, claim this name in the name of the Most High and in relationship to Yah's global kingdom. Since Israel and all forms of it seem to, you know, be taken in some way or another. All right, so amen.
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 We'll be kind of quiet tonight. All right. So, you know, we will vote on it, whether to adopt this name. then I, like I said, I will be sure to go get the business license, register the name, register the trademark. I have to make a trademark for it, but you know that is the least of my worries. And we will tie it to the farm, and this is what this will be. The money-making portion of this will be tied to this name. We'll be required to pay taxes on anything generated. Anything that comes in as Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry, we're not required to, it's a nonprofit. We're not required to pay taxes on it or to file taxes. So, but if we do with Jeshurun, and it is the business portion of this, then, yeah, I would have to file, make sure that taxes are filed. If we pay salaries, and, you know, I'll really have to look at this as, you know, because it's communal, everybody will probably end up getting a 1099 or something like that as contract workers because it's communal, probably do a 1099. And so you would be responsible for whatever, paying taxes on whatever personal income you get out of it, whatever your portion is, then, or we can say, okay, we're reporting this as income, and so that we don't have anybody getting in trouble, then we will, before anybody, you know, before distributions are made, the taxes are paid, and this is yours after taxes. And this is, you know, it'll show on your tax form. I don't know if it's a W-2 or a W-4. I haven't looked to see what the official form is, but, you know, it will show this is what you earned, and this is the amount of taxes you paid, and it was already paid for you. And so all you got to do is file your taxes, and you know, if you're doing everything right, and I really want to show people how to do business so that, you know, you really should not be paying taxes unless you're just making so much that you can't write it off. And that's one of the things that a lot of people who don't have businesses, what they don't understand is businesses are in business to write off just about everything. That's why you can see Exxon make $4 billion and pay no taxes. You can see Amazon making whatever they made, $25 billion and paying no taxes. Because, you know, all the employee salaries and all everything is a cost of doing business. And by the time that they write it, you know, write off all these costs of doing business, they don't owe any taxes. But you as, you know, an individual, you'd be paying taxes. And then some years, you know, you might make so much that you got to what? You don't get a refund, you got to pay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you knew what you were doing, you should never have to pay. And that's what corporations, they are set up to be that way. And so, you know, I want to teach all of us that process. Because it's not hard to start your own business, and it's not hard to, you know, keep track of a few receipts, and you don't have to be profitable. There are a lot of companies who are in business to lose money. And why are they start this company over here, and they're not trying to make a profit? Why? Because they're making a killing over here, and they need a write-off. And so you go to work for them, you wonder, what's going on here? Why, you know, you could do this better. You could make money like this. They're not trying to make money. They need the write-off. When I was doing IT for Insignia Financial, and that they were a commercial real estate brokerage, and, you know, they would finance the skyscrapers. The sale of all these skyscrapers and, you know, office buildings downtown and that kind of stuff. A lot of these skyscrapers downtown they change hands more often than you may know, like every 3 or 4 years, because somebody either is looking for an investment, and they can see, you know, I can make money off of rent, and then once they have making it profitable, then they sell it, or somebody needs a write-off. And I don't need for this to be profitable, you know, for the next 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years. So, you know, seeing all that stuff and learning that those different aspects, and having my own company and, you know, having to, you know, talk to people who were making millions, and, you know, their mindset and why they did things, then, you know, it gave me a great perspective on a lot of these things. And so I know what we need to do. I know how we need to do it. But, you know, this the farming, the microgreen farm portion of this won't just be just for me, but it will be communal as well. And so anybody that wants to do it, then, they, you know, they share in the profit of it. That is, you know, the way the farm will also make money. And so we will pay for different expenses on the land, you know, from this. And, you know, everybody, you know, we don't still have to lose other skill sets. But what we are really trying to be prepared for, there's going to come a time when we can't go into the city. It's going to come a time where we can't count on the world. And so we need to work on and be as self-sufficient as we can. And when, you know, and when the time comes that you know, that we have to be that way, then, you know, we will have in place what we need. And we just say, hey, we're not going out into the world now. We have everything we need right here on the land. We're producing our own food. We're producing our own energy. We have our own housing. We don't need money because food, housing, utilities, they're all free. They're communal. And so we just make sure that we're doing the things to maintain them and that, you know, we've saved up enough and bought, you know, whatever. You know, over 3 or 4 years, we'll know what wears out and what lasts and, you know, what we need, you know, backup for. We need these parts, so we need to make sure that, you know, we buy 3 or 4 of them. We may not need them for 10 years, but when it goes out, if we can't get it from society, we have it. And so that is what we are working toward in doing that. And, you know, having it be a blessed community where we are living by the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. Can't be coming and just living all wild and crazy and, you know, we should have stayed in the world if we're going to do that. You can get that in the world. But the Most High said to establish his kingdom on the earth. And there's no reason that we should not be doing it. So this is what we have started and, you know, what we're moving toward and learning how to grow the food. That's a must. First, you know, the electrical and that kind of stuff, I pretty much know how it works and what it would take. You know, I'm not licensed. And, you know, one of the things that I said that I would do for a minute, just so that I could get the experience, is go sell solar. Maybe go and sell it for 6 or 7 months or whatever, just so I can make sure that I understand off of somebody else's nickel, what it, you know, what's all required. And then I'm getting paid also, you know, to learn it, to learn that which I don't know. That's another story. But, you know, somebody else, if they want to, can do that. I just know that from my perspective, anything that goes wrong, I need to understand it and be able to fix it. But even though I want to train other people to be, you know, they're responsible for it. So I don't have to run and do everything. Not trying to be the end-all, be-all. But I do, you know, my career from the military to my own company, what I took to companies was that I was always the SME, the subject matter expert. And anything that needed to be done in that area, I knew all aspects of it. And so when we do this, I want to know all aspects. So, you know, somebody else can be responsible, but if it breaks and if the electrical system breaks and brother so-and-so was responsible for it, but he's down sick, it still needs to be what? Fixed. So we need to have people that are able to do that. So I've always, in my own company, when I had employees, they had their responsibilities and, you know, they had their specialties, but I had to know everything. Because if they didn't show up for work, you know, clients don't want to hear, you don't have somebody to show up on the job, they still want the job done. So I would have to make sure that I knew, how the technology worked, how they were set up, it was documented, and then I was able to, you know, perform it and do it. So that I wouldn't lose that client. So that's the mentality, sort of mentality that I have. And in the military, it was the same way. But it wasn't for the money at that time. It was for pride or honor, whatever you want to call it. But to be the subject matter expert. So that's my nature. But I'm not trying to be the end all and be all. But I do want to know and need to know how everything works. Mr. Most High has made me responsible for the overall. But we will get people to specialize, and I will train people. Hey, you want to upkeep the solar system? Let me teach you about solar power. Here's the solar array. Here is the converter. Here are the battery bank. This is how you wire in series. This is how you wire in parallel. This is the benefit of doing them both. This is how we're currently wired. If something breaks, this is how you troubleshoot it, starting from point A to point Z. This is what needs to be documented. This is the steps you have to go through. We have to be that way because we have to be where we don't have to count on anyone. When the cities get crazy, and they're going to get crazy, we almost saw it during this first COVID pandemic, the next one coming, it will get that crazy because people will not want to put up with it. People will not want to, you know, do it, and then there are going to be a lot of people go down. So let's say we have a virus that comes along now, and not just social distancing, but they really do have to really, really shut everything down. Grocery stores, gas stations, and everything. If you can't get food, what are you going to do? Can't go grocery shopping, what are you going to do? Can't get gas, what are you going to do? Something breaks at the electric company and they don't have the people to fix it, what are you going to do? These things are coming. And a lot of people, the Most High is not just telling me this, he's telling a lot of people this. So I know we're not the only ones trying this or doing this. But we have to be obedient to that voice. Let's see. What's the next order of business? What time? We got 7:43, and I've talked almost 2 hours on that. Good grief. So we didn't get into the actual bylaws. I'll have to do the bylaws first and do the update last next time. Any questions on anything that I've said today?
No, brother, we still with you.
Amen. Any concerns?
Just a little excited about it.
Amen. Well, we're gonna do the dang thing. We're gonna be obedient to the Most. Amen. We're gonna do it. We're doing it, and. I'm excited, and, you know, every time you see me, I'm talking about I'm doing something in relationship to this. And so, you know, I am 1,000% committed. I know this is what the Most High told me to do. I'm on it. And, you know, until the day he takes me out of here, I'm on it.
Amen.
So we just want to make sure that we are set, that, you know, it's not just our generation, but we pass it to the next generation. And they are just as committed and understand, you know, what's going on, because everybody knows we're in the last days, but we're been in the last days for the last 2,000 years. But we're in the last of the last days, and as I said, you know, when we look at prophecy, and I don't often teach prophecy, but, you know, I look at prophecy. For the first time in man's history has the ability to destroy the planet. For the first time in man's history, a lot of the technology that it speaks about in the scriptures, the prophecy that it speaks about, is a technological prophecy. And until the technology existed, you couldn't see the fulfillment of the prophecy. But we see them now. And even with the Temple Institute in Jerusalem, assigned or elected, laid hands on the high priest. In Jerusalem, they are planning to start rebuilding the temple. They have supposed to, you know, found the red heifer that's required for the temple 3 or 4 years ago, 5 years ago, that's required for the holy water, for the sanctification water. They're going to restart animal sacrifice, and they're going to rebuild this temple. And then we know that this temple is supposed to be built by the Gentiles in the last days. And so they are trying to do that now. We know that the Gentiles, the scripture says that Jerusalem will be trodden under by the Gentiles until his return. So we know that the people who are in the land are not the true, what, Hebrew Israelites. That would go against prophecy.
Amen.
The people who are in the land are the Gentile nations. And they're doing those things that are told that they would do. So we know Antichrist is not that far away. We know that the day of the Most High, the day of Yah, is not that far away. How far away?
Hallelujah.
The Most High is not telling. He's not telling me. He's saying,
hallelujah,
you know, you need to move now, but he's not saying, oh, on January 21st, 2024, I'm going to do this. He's not telling me anything like that, but he is telling me I need to move. I need to do what's necessary now. He did not have it written. He did not have it written and warning us just so that we would sit on our hands. So if we don't take action, it's because it's our fault. And we can't blame him. So that is what we're on, and that's where we're at. He hasn't given me an exact time. He's just put it in my spirit, you need to move. You need to be on it. And I provided you a way to do it. I was obedient to that because I could have did otherwise. And he probably would have killed me for real. But, you know, we were faithful and we are doing what he said to do. So we're on it. You know, if there's no questions concerning what we're doing, look, you know, I like I said, I'm going to go back to what we were talking about. We're not going to do any bylaws tonight. I will start bylaws and that review. We'll start that first next week so I don't get caught up, because I can get caught up either way in the word or in this stuff, either way. I have an agenda, but I just don't follow it, I guess. But anyway, sometimes it makes me mad that I don't. Because I'm used to having what we call a schedule of events. At this time I'm going to do this, at this time I'm going to do this, at this, you know, just so we can be organized and stay on track. But, you know, these things are new. They are relevant right now. And, you know, I'm excited about them. And I want you to be excited. about it and, you know, committed as well. Because when the Most High says, when he says get up and go, you don't want it to be, you know, you don't want it, like he says, don't let your flight be in the winter or on the Sabbath.
On the Sabbath.
You don't play those things. So, you know, that means that if you are running, you want it to be in the summer, spring, or the fall, but you don't want it to be in the winter because you might end up walking.
Right.
You might end up, you know, having to have your kids and you're dragging them and you're staying in ditches and, you know, camping out in the woods and all this other stuff. When he says you see these things, he says get out of the cities. And so I see those things. I see the signs of those things. He put it on my heart. You know, you need to be moving now. And, you know, the Most High sent me to New York. He knew, and I'll tell you a story since we got the time. I never wanted to go to New York City, ever. Because I always had dreams that if I went to New York City, I would die in New York City. This was in my spirit. I would die there. So I never wanted to go there. And when, you know, the economy crashed and, you know, I went to teaching and then the company that I was teaching for, you know, they start doing shady stuff. And I'm like, you know, most of the students are only coming here for me. And you want to talk crazy to me? I said, you know, I don't have to stay here. And so I left. You know, I dissolved that partnership. And they folded, just like I told them they would. And I went, you know, I said, if I'm going to go to work, I'll go to work for a large company. So I went to work for Amazon. And no matter how I tried to wait, you know, Amazon kept telling me, we want you to go to New York. And I never wanted to go to New York. I turned down the first job they offered me in New York. And so finally I accepted the job. I said, Most High, you have to have me. Because in my heart of hearts, you know I never wanted to go to New York City. It's always been in my spirit that I would die there. That's where my death would be. And so I never wanted to go there. So if it's meant for me to die, I guess that's what you're telling me. You're ready for me to go. So I'm going to be obedient, and I went. He kept me. And then about a month, you know, I first got there. I said, hey, I can do this job from Phoenix. And I'm not moving my family or anything. I said, I could do this job from Phoenix. They said, no, we want you in New York. Then, you know, my manager knew that I did not want to stay in New York. And finally he says, okay. It's about a month before COVID broke out. He says, okay, you can go back home to Phoenix. But that was the Most High's doing. And so it moved me back to Phoenix. And COVID broke out in New York. And everybody that was riding, you know, the trains, and I rode public transportation, couldn't stand it. I mean, I hadn't had to ride the bus anywhere in my life since I was about 18 years old. Always had my own car, you know, yada, yada, yada. So having to ride, you know, public transportation, taking the trains everywhere, taking the bus, being, you know, packed in there like sardines, I didn't care for it at all. And this was everybody who was getting COVID. And so the Most High says, you know, he allowed me to leave there just before it broke out. And I could only thank him. You know, my landlord, he was calling, he's like, man, the Most High really loves you because he brought you here and allowed you to work and help me out because he was in a financial strait. You know, the deal we worked out was just, it was to both our benefits. And he said, but the Most High allowed you to leave here. Because he says, I know you didn't want to be here too. He says, but he allowed you to leave here right before COVID broke out. And, you know, you were stuck taking public transportation. He says, well, I know the Most High loves you and that he looks out for you and that he moves and does things in your life just in the nick of time. I said, well, you know, that's where my faith has always been, with the Most High. And, you know, I told you. Because, you know, when I first got there, I was like, this dude is a hitman. Because I really believe, you know, I was supposed to go here and die. And you see, if you saw this brother, he looked just like one of those Colombian hitmen. About 6'5", 6'6", 330, 40, 50 pounds, solid muscle. And I'm like, okay, Most High, you know, got the ponytail. I mean, he looked just like a hitman to me. And I told him, you know, we laughed about it because you wouldn't find anybody more gentler. And the Most High knew what he was doing. You know, he didn't run and chase women. Didn't want me running and bringing strange women into his house. I said, you know, why ain't about that? I'm about the Most High. I'm not into doing all that. He wasn't into doing it. Neither one of us was gay. And so didn't have to worry about that kind of stuff. It was just great. And so, you know, he was coming out of a divorce. He was strapped for money. His business had gone down. And, you know, so the money that I was paying him rent helped him to get on his feet. And then right as soon as he got on his feet, that's when the Most I said, you know, it's time for you to leave. He says, you know, I got on my feet. You got what you needed. And the Most I sent you away just in the nick of time for all of this. He says, so I know he's with you. And so I know that if I listen to the voice of the Most High, if I'm obedient to him, he's with me. And he's going to see us through whatever we're doing, as long as I'm faithful. And I have to do it the way he says to do it. So, you know,
yeah.
My faith is, you know, I'm not going to waver. I'm not going to doubt. I'm not going to say, am I doing the right thing? Most of you told me to do this. I acted on it without question. And so I'm in it, and I'm committed to it. So this is you know, this is where we're at. And, you know, and that's the story. So, you know, I'm all in 100% because I know the Most High told me to do this, and he's always worked in my life that way. Always. Like I said, when I was in the military, I was a pothead. I was a weed connoisseur in the military. And every drug test I took came back negative. But the Most High says, don't say you lucky. He says, because that was me. Had you got busted in the military for pot, you would have a federal offense, and there would be so many things you could not do, so many doors that were closed to you. And I protected you. So he's always been with me, and I've always listened to his voice. I've not always done everything he said to do, and when I didn't, trust me, he chastised me. He punished me, and I paid for it, for real. But he's with us. And so we want, you know, I want to be with like-minded people, and those that are just on fire, just as on fire for the Most High as I am. And he has to be first. You know, I believe him when he says, if you love mother, brother, father, sister, husband, wife, more than you love me, you are not worthy of me. I believe him when he says that. And so anybody, you know, in my life, wife, children, they have to understand that and believe that. And understand, hey, it ain't personal. But I'm going to choose the Most High first every time.
Amen.
Every time. You know, and I'm going to love you. And I'm not going to, you know, treat you as second best or anything like that. But he has to be first. Has to be. So, and I can't teach that and don't do that. I can't be telling you one thing and then I'm doing something else. Can't be saying the Most High says we ought to do this, but then I don't do it, but I'm expecting you to do it. Can't be that way. So we are in it. We are at 7:59. I'm going to make a motion that we bring this meeting, that we adjourn this meeting. Do I have a second?
I second.
Amen. Amen. All in favor say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. We are officially closing this meeting. We will meet again on next Thursday, and I will do the bylaw portion because we've been in the bylaws for a minute, but I wanted this thing to be so detailed so that even in future, if Yah tarries and doesn't come back, the bylaws govern everything about the organization. And as I said, we have to understand that we really are setting up a government within a government. And the world recognizes this. And the U.S. Constitution recognizes this. And all world governments recognize this. But we have to do what we say we're doing. Cannot be half-stepping. Cannot, you know, partially do it. Because they come back and say, well, your bylaws and your statutes say this, but you're not doing that. Then they can say that you're what, a fraudulent or a fake organization. And we don't want to go down that road. Because citizenship, what the you know, some things that are that the laws, as a citizen of another country, rights that you have, that if you are just an American citizen, you have to fall up under these things. But if you're a dual citizen, you say, I invoke my rights from my citizenship in this kingdom. And if you know what you're talking about, they have to abide by it. And so we have to learn these things, and we have to be of that mindset. It's not just a matter of, oh, we're a citizen of the kingdom of the Most High, and you know, it's only in our mind. No, that's not what he's wanting set up. And that's not what, you know, what the world, that's not even what the governments of the world understand. They know that this is real. They know this. And my research has, you know, shown me that they know it, and the laws have shown me that they know it. We can't come into it half-stepping. Or else, you know, they'll come in and try to tear it down for real and be trying to send people to jail and all kind of stuff. So we have to do it, you know, we have to be right. We have to do it right. And those people who, you know, every person involved has to understand what they're getting involved with. I don't want people to come in ignorance. You have to understand what they're getting involved in. Because it is a kingdom, and with all the privileges of being a citizen of that kingdom. Our king happens to be in heaven, but this is for real, not just, you know, figuratively speaking. And that's where I think a lot of people take it. That's the way the churches take it, and they comply and put themselves up under the law of man when we're not supposed to be up under the law of man. We're up under the law of the land until it violates the law of the Most High. Then this is what we invoke, and they have to honor it. But if you're not honoring it yourself, then why should they? So I pray, you know, as we continue to go through the newcomers class. I will continue to try to convey this. That's why it's critical that we take these things seriously, that, you know, what we're dealing with, the world takes very serious. The governments of the world take very seriously. And, you know, they understand the mission of the church and of the kingdom of the Most High. I don't think that the church, well, like I said, with the exception of the Catholic Church, I don't really think the church really understands it. And the Catholic Church was not called to do what they were, what they're doing. So the real church has to stand up. So I want each and every one of you to know that. if you get involved, this is not something you play with.
Man.
It's not something you play with, and I'm not playing at all.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the things that the Most High has me to teach is because this is his kingdom. And we want to walk in it as law-abiding citizens of his kingdom. We don't want to be lawbreakers in our own kingdom. That being said, let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you. We thank you this evening, Father, for your word. We thank you for the discussion. We thank you for the progress that you have allowed us to make. We thank you for the vision and the dream. We thank you for the warning, Father. I know that we are not the only ones that you are telling this, and I look out on the web and I see other people doing the same thing. So your spirit and your word, and it's going out and it's ministering to people, Father, we just want to be obedient. We want to obey your voice and to move when you say move and to do what you say to do. Father, help us. Give us favor. Whatever that we put our hands to, let us come out on top in all that we do for your glory, that your name be glorified in the earth, and that people come to you and obtain salvation because we are obedient to you. Father, as we go our separate ways, tomorrow is your Shabbat, and Father, we will honor you in it, and we will bless your holy name. As we go our separate ways, Father, encamp your angels around us. Assign them to keep us safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, family, I love you. I really do. But I cannot love you and do for you what the Most High does for you and how he loves you.
Amen.
I'm simply his messenger. Shalom.
Shalom, brother.
Shalom.
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 See you guys tomorrow. Yah willing. I should have this already queued. All right, amen. Peace and blessings.
Baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the. Oh, one time, push a buck. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpacha, good vibration. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you. Cause without you, there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, bitch, either way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you. Cause without you, there's no need. I need a